a great protector. Marshal your troops, O city of troops, for a siege is laid against us. They will strike Israel's ruler on the cheek with a rod. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Therefore Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor gives birth, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely. For then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be their peace.
Do please be seated. Well, it's great to be here. It's great to hear, have our carol service together with the choir looking particularly chirpy, and the readings, readers reading it so fantastically. You here to be part of this fantastic Christmas celebration. Some while ago, my wife, Katie, turned to me and she started with these words. She said, "I think you look like..." And in that moment, my heart leapt. What was she going to say? Was she going to say, I don't know, George Clooney, Brad Pitt, or even Daniel Craig? What was that what she was going to say? What she actually said was, "I think you look like Martin Johnson." Now, for those of you who don't know, Martin Johnson was the World Cup winning captain of the England side in 2003. And there are many ways in which I would love to be compared to Martin Johnson. His leadership, his bravery, his courage, his skill, and his size. But no, it was his face. In fact, somebody said this before, I think Martin Johnson's a very attractive man, somebody said after the first service, and I said, "You don't really mean that." Or more to the point, what you mean is, all the other aspects of him, you think make him very attractive. But what my wife was saying is, you don't have any of the other aspects, it's just the face. I didn't know which was worse at the end of it. The fact that she thought I looked like Martin Johnson, or the fact that she thought I would be flattered by the comparison. Sometimes someone says something about you or to you, and you're kind of a little bit unsure how to take it. Well, that happens in one of our Bible readings today. I wonder if you saw it. It was in our Micah reading. And in our Micah reading, I am compared to a sheep. I'm described as a sheep. In Micah 5, verse 4, it talks of Jesus as the long-awaited promised king, who would come from a small village outside of Jerusalem called Bethlehem. And it says about this king, he will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And there I am, the flock, a sheep. I don't know how you would feel about being called a sheep. Obviously, sheep and shepherds are a big part of the nativity story. I was always particularly pleased when my children wanted to be a shepherd rather than an angel, because a shepherd just requires a dressing gown and a tea towel, and angels are way more complicated. We know they're part of the story, but Micah 5 verse 4 tells us that this is no coincidence. The shepherds and the sheep are not just a bit of quaint window dressing to the story. We're to get this message. God wants us to see that the child in the manger is the shepherd whom the shepherds had come to worship. The angels took the good news of the birth of Jesus not to carpenters or innkeepers or fishermen. They took the news to the shepherds who were looking after their sheep. Why? Because they were telling them about how Jesus had come to be the shepherd of his sheep, his flock, God's people. But the thing is, I don't know how I feel about being compared to a sheep. At one level, you know, if you're in Surrey, you tend to think that sheep might be quite fluffy and friendly. But when I go to the Lake District, I discover the truth. Sheep are dirty, smelly, obstinate and stupid animals. It's not a flattering comparison, however much some people might say is unerringly accurate about me. I don't know how I feel about that. But there is actually a bigger struggle, I think, we all have with the idea of being sheep. And that's what we all are, according to Micah. And that is, we don't want to have to follow a shepherd. We want to do what we want and go our own way. I think that's one of the biggest struggles that people actually have about the claims of Jesus on their life. It's not the historical question about Jesus. I think it's pretty clear cut. I think there's good answers to that. Or the scientific one. No, it's the fact that being a Christian means accepting that Jesus is your shepherd, that he is your leader, that he gets to lead you. And we have all sorts of problems with that. But I think one of the problems is, and we see this at this election time, that we've kind of got a deep disillusionment with leadership and with leaders. There's a reason for that. Underlying all of it, the reason that every leader we've known has in some way failed, the reason we are disillusioned, is that every other leader we've ever followed is, well, like these ones, ultimately, just like us, they're sheep. I should apologise, this was done before the election. Some of those sheep have now gone. but you get the point. They're just other sheep. And when sheep only follow other sheep, they get lost. That's what happens. Later on in his life, we're told that when Jesus looked out on a crowd, it says this, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. In other words, if Jesus was standing here in St. Patrick's and he looked out on all of us, what we would see on his face is compassion. What he would see in us is that we're like sheep without a shepherd. We're harassed and helpless. And at some point in every one of our lives, we will know that feeling. We will have a glimpse of it. We will feel that sense of harassment and helplessness, certainly by the end. So we're caught in between two places, aren't we? At one level, we need a leader, otherwise we're sheep without a shepherd. But at another level, all of our leaders have failed us. But here's the news of Christmas. Jesus is different. And this is why Jesus is different. Jesus is the leader who's a shepherd and not just a sheep. And that makes a difference on at least three parts. The first is his ambition. I think actually that most of our political leaders, for instance, really do want to help us. I think that's why they went into politics by and large. But, and here's the thing, we know they're also ambitious for themselves, as we would be. Ambitious for money, power, the ambition to be right, the ambition to be popular, the ambition to win. And that's why it's so hard for them when they lose power. Don't you feel for the MPs when they lose their seat? How shocking that must be. But because there is that ambition for themselves, we struggle to trust them. And it's not just political leaders, it's any leader. But listen to what Jesus says about what sort of shepherd he is in John 10. He says this, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Now, I want you to imagine with me for a moment. You're looking up at a cliff, and there halfway up is some stupid sheep that looks a lot like me. And you see this shepherd look down over the cliff, and then he starts climbing down. You're thinking, is he going to slip? Is he going to fall? That's so dangerous. He's risking his life for the sheep. What an amazing shepherd, you would think, wouldn't you? But here's the thing. The shepherd's only doing it because he thinks he'll survive. Jesus, we read, is the shepherd who lays his life down for the sheep, who says, I will die for the sheep. Now, that's crazy land, isn't it? Like, no shepherd would normally do that. No shepherds realise that they're of more value than a sheep. But Jesus chooses to say, no, you are more valuable than his life. That isn't just a good shepherd. That's a miraculous shepherd. But it's not just ambition where he's different, it's also power. Our leaders promise the earth, basically because it's democracy and we won't vote for them unless they do. It's our fault. But they can never deliver. They lack the power. But this shepherd is the one who broke death. Did you hear that? He broke death. That is power. That's why Micah says that he will shepherd in the strength of the Lord. That's God's name there. In the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. He is the only leader who will always deliver on his promises. So what is his promise? His promise is life. Now, every leader tells us that they will make our lives better if we follow them. But the problem with every other leader we've encountered is we don't see that better life in them. And even more than that, we've seen over centuries that human leadership has failed. We have more resources in our country than at any other time in history, than in most other countries in the world now. We have more equality, more freedoms, more protection under law, but we are less happy. That's madness, isn't it? That's where leadership has got us. This shepherd, though, says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I love that word full. That means that you cannot fit any more life in David. What a thought. To be that full of life. That's what Jesus offers us. And we can believe him because we see it in him. The one who wasn't afraid of death. One of the really things I love which Jesus said was this. Come to me all who are weary and heavy laden and I will give you rest. I often feel weary and heavy laden, like worries about all sorts of things, stresses about relationships, about work situations, about health. And you know that feeling where you just feel your shoulders are weighted down? And you feel like the life's being sucked out of you? And Jesus says, come to me. I will give you rest. And he offers to take that burden on himself. One of the best ways Jesus describes this is when he tells a story about a shepherd with 100 sheep and one of them wanders off and he goes out to rescue the sheep. Why? To bring it back to the flock of God. And that's what we find here. We discover that in that rescue we find life. We first of all find identity. He will stand as shepherd, his flock. He becomes the base of identity, something solid and permanent. And not just something which just waves around. Not just our identity, we find where we belong. It is his flock. We belong to a family, a community. And where we find our security. They will live securely. Why? Of course, because the shepherd who broke death is looking after them. And when you know that death has been broken for you because you know the shepherd, that's life. And that's why Micah says, that's where we find our peace. Christmas says that whatever life throws at you, if you choose Jesus as leader of your life, as your shepherd, you have a shepherd who gave his life for you. And in giving his life for you, he gives you a way, as it says in Psalm 23, where it starts, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads you through the darkest valley. And out to the other side. And that's the point of Christmas. We get Christmas when we realise that there is this shepherd who calls us to follow him. We get Christmas when we make the choice whether we will or not. Let me finish with some words I read recently by a minister called John Piper. He says this, the meaning of Christmas is that what is good and precious in your life need never be lost. And what is evil and undesirable in your life can be changed. The fears that the few good things that make you happy are slipping through your fingers, and the frustrations that the bad things you hate about yourself or your situation can't be changed, these fears and these frustrations are what Christmas came to destroy. This Christmas, look at, see, follow. The shepherd whom the shepherds worshipped. Amen.